Hey everyone, this is Noor and you're listening to the Radical Contemporary Podcast. Welcome back to what we now call the new normal. We're kicking off this year with season 4 of the podcast, hosting some of the most prominent cultural producers in the Middle East and North Africa.
Yeah. I no longer look at fame as the price of what I do, but as a package of what I do.
In this episode, I speak to Egyptian-Montenegrin actress, model, and fellow podcast host, Tara Ahmed. We speak about being creative from a young age, the pressures and benefits of fame, using your platform to advocate for a cause that is worthwhile, such as bullying, the lifestyle, sacrifices, and requirements it takes to endure intense work environments, and the fulfillment that is felt from doing a job that you truly love.
Everyone thinks it's, you know, super easy. You just put on some cool, fancy clothes and you say a few lines and then you go on about your life. And it's really nowhere near that. So you really have to love acting to want to be an actor. And the first thing that like helps me keep my stamina on long shooting hours is I love what I do.
This episode is part of our hashtag She Moves Us season with our friends at Puma Middle East, speaking to women who are inspiring, empowering, and pushing their communities and themselves forward in 2021. And now to my conversation with Tara.
There's been a lot of buzz about the work that you're doing, whether it's in acting or podcasting and a lot of other landscapes. And I'm super happy to have you on the podcast. I'm excited to kind of get some insight into your career-like trajectory. So first of all, I want you to tell me, where did you, like, take us back a little bit. Where did you grow up and what did you study?
Well, I grew up in Egypt. My mom is from Montenegro and my dad is Egyptian. I was born here and I grew up here. I went to school here and I am still actually in university. It's my last semester. I'm studying applied arts, media and media design. So that's it, basically.
So I usually ask people, what was your first creative memory?
Creative memory. Well, I remember that I was obsessed with drawing and painting, and I really loved drawing and painting. And I was very famous for my, like, as a kid, you know, with my family, for my weird paintings. And I would see an incredible, for instance, painting that my mom like was gifted or that she bought. And then I would try and imitate it just to kind of see if I can do something in that way. And it was always like this, I don't know. There was this one picture. It was called The Dog That Is Smoking. I don't even understand what the picture was, but it was of some artist that was my mom's very close friend, and he gifted that painting to her. And I was so amazed by how beautiful the painting was that I was trying to imitate it and draw another one. So that was like the first creative memory that I have.
Acrylic? Was it oil? Was it watercolor? Wallahi.
It was with the watercolors, acrylic. I still have those like color tubes, and with ordinary pencils and charcoal. A lot of time with charcoal also. I was fascinated by how beautiful charcoal is.
Did you enjoy school? Did you do well at school or not really? In general, well, other subjects?
Depends. Like there are times that I was like, oh, I'm acing this. I love it. I guess I didn't enjoy it if I was not good at a subject. I would only like it if I was good. And yeah. I was not someone like, I enjoyed reading. I loved English classes and I loved literature and I enjoyed math because my mom really put an effort to like make me enjoy and love math. You know, she even like drew the cardboards and flashcards for the timetable. And she really put the effort for me to like it. So I liked it up to a certain point where I was like, this is so hard. I don't get it. Why is it so tough? But yeah. I enjoyed school most of the time. Yeah. Because my mom always told me, she's like, you're not studying for the exam. You're studying because you can learn new stuff. You can learn cool new facts and cool new things about the world, about the history, about the future. So it's not for the exam. So I guess that kind of was embedded in me till now.
I'm trying to remember for me when the first time I saw you, I don't know, on TV was, but I still remember to this day, it was an ad for something. And I remember thinking, wow, this girl looks so whimsical, so different, a little bit maybe foreign. So I'm curious, were you kind of that kid that would like act in school plays and all of that, or not really?
Well, yeah, absolutely. There was every 2-3 months in school, we had these like plays and we had these dances, but I would mostly join the folklore dances. You know, we had like every 3-4 months, we'd have this like a party at school where we would dance, and there would be throughout the year, we would learn these dances to some very like famous Arabic songs. And I was always in all of these dances. I would not miss a single one.
So did you ever remember a time where you were nervous? Because I remember I was like the lead of a school play once, and I was so nervous and like learning the lines, and it was like a huge deal, even though it was like nothing, you know, at the time.
Yeah.
Were you nervous ever, or you just felt like, I like the idea of doing this process of theater?
Well, I guess when like the times that I was nervous in was when I was presenting things on stage in school. Okay. For instance, for our graduation, I was presenting like the intro, you know, introducing everyone and stuff. I didn't enjoy that. When we had also like other ceremonies in school, I would sometimes present it. That was what was making me nervous the most, but not the dances and the acting and all. Just this talking in the microphone thing, it was always something that was kind of very nerve-wracking for me.
What came first, acting or modeling for you?
Modeling started first with me. I started doing ads when I was around, my first ad was when I was 9, I guess. I was so eager to be on TV. Like, I just wanted to be on TV. And my mom took me to this casting agency where you audition, and then they have your portfolio, like your name, your age, your height, and so on. And if there's an ad, mm-hmm. they call you back. So I got an ad, and it was for some, I don't know, new new place in Sehel somewhere. I don't even know what it was, but we went and I was so excited. My mom went with me. It was like a whole 24-hour thing. I remember it so exhausting, but I was like, this is my way to stardom. This is it. This is my big thing. And I didn't even come out in the ad. Like, I was not even visible.
They cut you out of the ad. Oh God.
I don't even think they filmed me. I have no idea. But like, I don't remember being in front of a camera the entire day. They were just like, walk here. And I guess they were filming from so far away that no one was seeing.
Wow, I love it.
Yeah, but so, I felt this is like the big thing.
And you liked the process. You enjoyed it, actually.
I loved it. Mm. I loved it. And then after that, when I was 14, I started modeling. And shortly after, basically, I started acting. When I was 15, I did my first TV series and then continued modeling for like another 9 years, 8-9 years. And I recently, three, four years ago, I decided that I want to fully focus on acting and I want to give it my all, basically.
Right. And so what was the first TV series? What was the one that you started with?
It's called El Gama. Yes. It was this really cool 15 episodes. It was the first of its kind, you know, where they discuss problems that happen in universities, relationship problems between people in universities. And it was short and it was very raw and very, you know, this very different kind of communication that was very new at that time. And it was a really big hit and I was a part of it. So it was really cool. It was pan-Arab. There were Lebanese actors and actresses from Saudi Arabia, from all over the Arab world.
When you started getting more jobs, how did you begin selecting like what you want to go for and what you don't want to go for? Like, what's your selection process like?
Well, now I guess my selection process is always, is this something that I feel could elevate me and my craft? And is this something that I could add to? Or is it just a role that if we remove it from the series or from the film, there's nothing special that's going to happen? So even if it's like a one scene role, if there's a super, super, you know, dramatic effect, if we remove this role, then I want it, even if appearing for a second. But if it's very important for the course of the whole film or series, then it's an important role that I would want to be a part of. But if I feel that it's not something that I can add to or that it's going to add to me, I just don't do it.
I think one of the things I asked you actually when we were shooting together a few weeks ago, I was asking you, I'm like, how do you maintain your stamina on set?
This is something I was so curious about, Teodora. I was like, okay, so what's your process in making sure that you stay healthy and motivated to be able to do the long hours of filming and the crazy schedules?
Well, first of all, you really have to love what you do. I know a lot of people tell me, hey, I want to be an actress. Hey, I want to be an actor. Yeah. I really want to do it. I'm like, do you actually want to do it? Or is it just the fame that you're looking after, you know, or looking forward to? Because everyone thinks it's, you know, super easy. You just put on some cool fancy clothes and you say a few lines and then you go on about your life. And it's really nowhere near that. So you really have to love acting to want to be an actor. And the first thing that like helps me keep my stamina on long shooting hours and freezing temperatures where I'm wearing like a super light t-shirt is I love what I do. And it's what I've always been like wanting to do. And I can't see myself doing anything else but that. And whenever I'm like, oh my God, this is like, I'm exhausted. I'm tired. I want to leave. I'm fed up. I'm like, you like 3 years ago, you were praying to have this role, you know, 1 year ago, you were hoping you would be where you are right now. These are the things that I keep in mind when I'm like tired, and it's normal to be tired. It's normal to get fed up. I'm not a robot by the end of the day. You know, you have normal human emotions where you're like, I just can't, I just want to go home and sleep. I hate everything and I hate everyone.
Definitely.
You know? But it's okay to be aware of that and not kind of just pressure yourself. Just be like, okay, I get it. This is work. This is what I want to do. Is there something else I want to do and just quit? No. Okay. Then let's just focus and
power through.
Get your head in the game. Yeah.
I love that. And the thing is, like, I think for you, you're someone who's known to be very good to work with. And I think this is something that's, I guess, I don't know if it's something you developed over time consciously or not. I think it's in your character. But how important is it for you to feel like the perception of being good to work with is crucial in the creative industries? You know, there's a lot of people that are difficult to work with, or like you said, I think you emit a lot of kindness on sets. You're very nice to everybody. This is something it takes discipline. So how have you cultivated that?
My mom, honestly, she's the one that always told me, just being kind is not going to take anything away from me. Just being kind to everyone. And I remember whenever I tell her, I'm like, oh my God, they're so amazing and so kind and so sweet. She's like, Tara, always remember to be the same. And the way that you treat them, they're going to treat you. Be kind, be good. Don't ever let it get in your head that you're better than other people, because that's when you start to lose it, basically.
Right.
And just treating everyone, you know, kindly. It's just being aware of that you're not better than anyone and you're just another human being and they're a human being and there's no need for me to be mean unless there is a certain problem that needs to be fixing, you know. But if it's just an environment, why don't you create an environment that everyone is happy to work in? And for me, a healthy environment where everyone is respected, the other person, where everyone's basically respectable of the other person, where everyone is very attentive to what to the other person's needs, requirements, it helps a lot in work. So me being good helps you be good. You being good is in return also making me feel good and comfortable and respected, and it's a full circle basically at the end. So it just helps, and I enjoy and I thrive more in like comfortable, a kind, and kind of respectable environments to work in. It's just way better, and I would prefer that over any other environment.
I think this is what I want to get into next, is the fact that you are essentially famous. I think it's fascinating to me. The concept of fame in general is really interesting to a lot of people, and it's, like you said, elusive, but do you really want to do the work is the question. But my question to you is, how do you deal with that? Like, how do you, now that you have a platform where you know that people listen to your, you know, you have an influential voice, let's say. Yeah. So how do you deal with that? What are the pros of it? And what are the definite cons? Yeah.
It kind of took me a solid amount of years to get where I am now, where I no longer look at fame as the price of what I do, but as a package of what I do. It's just a part of my job. It's not the price that I pay, because having it in my mind as it's the price that I pay, it's always going to have a very negative connotation to it. And for the longest time, I was like, oh yes, this is the price that I pay. My private life is not really private, and it's really hard to maintain the privacy in my life. And, you know, there's a lot of things that come with it. But after I kind of just shifted my perspective of this is just part of what I do, and this fame helps me shed light on things that I care about, raise voices of people that voices aren't heard because mine is heard, so I can help in having their voices heard. It's because of my fame. It, like, I can use it to great advantages that I wouldn't be able to if I didn't have it. So looking at it from a different perspective has helped me, because I was a very shy kid. I was very, very shy in school, and fame and, you know, noticing me in the streets and stuff, it was not something that I understood or was able to comprehend in the beginning. And it was really scary for me. But now I just understand that this is basically a part, and this is the, it comes with a lot of beauty that you're recognized, because then people could listen to you. You could help people that you want to help and have other people help them. You could market things that you want to market. So I think it just comes with incredible responsibility, but also with amazing, like, beautiful things.
We're taking a break from the conversation to tell you a little bit more about Puma's newest campaign, #SheMovesUs. She Moves Us is a campaign that exists to empower, inspire, and connect women in the MENA and all over the world. Your journey, values, successes, and challenges are all part of who you are. You can check out the #SheMovesUs to read stories of women all over the region and the world, showcasing their strength, resilience, and their ability to keep moving forward. And now back to my conversation with Toro.
For example, when you launched the podcast on bullying, I thought this was so interesting, because you could have launched a podcast about absolutely anything, really. And you selected a topic that you felt, I suppose, needs more light, needs more discussion. So can you tell me a bit about that? Like, why did you choose this topic? And I really respected it. I thought, she knows people are going to listen. This is the topic you chose. Why that topic?
Well, bullying has been a very big part of my life. Unfortunately, like, throughout growing up, I felt this was a topic that I've always been talking about, more or less. I've been participating in a lot of campaigns online and offline, where we go talk to schools, where we have posts that are related to bullying and anti-bullying campaigns and so on. But I've always felt that we don't have the, okay, we know that bullying is bad, we know that we shouldn't do it, but how do parents and how do teachers and how do we notice bullying that is happening to us sometimes if we're not sure this is bullying? How do we defend ourselves? How do we tell our kids, or how do we notice their behavioral changes, that they're bullying someone or that they're being bullied? So basically, those tools that help us early on stop bullying and nip it in the bud, basically. So it was very important for me to find people that are willing to talk about their bullying experiences, real life stories that people want to share, how they were affected, how they overcome it, how it has been affecting them up till now, what did they do about it, so that other people that are going through the same thing could benefit. And also, we talked to, like, I talked to psychiatrists and I talked to parents, I talked to teachers. They were telling me, the specialists, like the psychiatrist herself, she was telling me that it's very important to early on notice the behavioral changes in kids at home, in school, between our friends, and kind of just take it on from there. And she gave tools. How do we deal with it? What do we say? What do we, like, how do we approach our children when they are bullies, or how do we approach them when they're being bullied? Because it's a very hard topic that you feel that you're bullied and you don't want to tell, for instance, your mom or your dad or any of your family members, because you feel that maybe they're going to perceive you as weak. So you maybe just shy away from talking about this. So as a parent, how do you encourage your kid to talk about this freely, to not be embarrassed, to not be scared? So there were a lot of incredible conversations that I've had, and I really want to do like another season. It was just very, very time consuming. And since I'm filming now, it's very hard to do the research and the process and the filming and the editing. I mean, you know.
And I'm here.
Exactly.
And plus in Egypt, honestly, recording, if you're recording internet, if you're recording remotely, we have a lot of
It's amazing.
It's a struggle. But I think, to be honest, I think it's something, Yani, I think definitely go for it when you have the time, because I think it's a topic that coming from you will be heard. So I'm so happy you did this podcast, because Yani, not only is podcasting like the future of content, but really, I think these topics are ones that we need to talk about more. You're right about that. So I want to ask you something. What role does social media play in your career, do you believe? Because I think now your account is considered, it's like one of those, you know, bigger celebrity accounts, etc. So do you pay a lot of attention to it? Are you very curatorial about it? Or do you just kind of, I mean, is it something that you put a lot of weight onto, social media as a medium?
Honestly, it's not like, it's not curated at all. I'm like winging it as I go. I don't know why, but there's something in me that enjoys this spontaneous, you know, feel, I guess, because everything in my life is very planned and I have everything by the hour. So social media for me is like, you know, I post, maybe I don't, maybe I disappear, maybe I come back. So it's, for me, if I curate it, I don't know. I feel I'm going to be very stuck. And when I feel that, like, especially on social media, if I start curating, I'm like, what if I don't want to do that today? You know, let it be every moment for itself. And it took me a while to realize, like the past, let's say 2 years, I've been more aware of my scrolling, my hours sitting on Instagram, just doing nothing. So I've been more aware of that, because I realized in the past, like, let's say 4 years, when it boomed even way more in Egypt, I was getting a lot of validation off of Instagram. And it was very harming for me and for my mental health. And it was very harming for how I felt about myself, and how I could only feel happy and good and beautiful if I was validated by strangers or by friends or by fans, or, you know, it was just the feeling of, I'm not going to feel good unless I post a picture and someone tells me, hey, you look pretty. And when I noticed that, I was like, wow, I need to just take a step back for a month or two and just think of what is it in my life that I need to work on so that I am good and I feel beautiful and I feel happy and I feel content with myself, and I don't need to get that, you know, dose of adrenaline from the internet. I worked on that, and I was very aware of, what do I feel? How do I, you know, like tap these things into me, like figure out what is it that I need to heal in order to feel good and not to seek external validation. And then I went back, it was like a month and a half or two away just from Instagram. And I feel that everyone goes through this phase.
So I want to ask you something. So what do you think is the hardest part of your job as an actor right now?
I guess it would be just like when you're at your lowest, sometimes it's very hard to be like, okay, like for instance, I remember we were filming, it was freezing. It was so cold. And the scenes where I was supposed to be like completely drenched in water, and I was in so much pain physically because of how cold it was. And I was like, why am I doing this to myself? I'm like, why am I in so much pain, you know? And it's moment like these that I'm like, okay, this is hard. And it's long hours. That's also something. It's a, like very 18, 19, 20 hours. So these moments are hard, but when you're done, you feel sort of like, oh my God, I did it. It's amazing. And I'm so proud of myself and I can't wait to see this role and so
on. It's like,
but
I guess the long hours, it's like,
of course, it's 100%. Just long hours, I guess. But I try and do things while I'm waiting. Like I bring a book. I don't know. Bring something to play with. I always try and just fill the hours that I'm waiting at locations to do something. Definitely. So I don't feel so bad.
No, but honestly, I think what you said in the beginning is so true. If you are not passionate, you will leave. You will not do the long hours. So on another flip side, what's the best part?
The best part is that I get to just live vicariously through other people's, you know, lives. I want to be like, there was a part of me that wanted to be a doctor. I wanted to be a writer. I wanted to be a painter. I wanted to be, oh my God, I wanted to be an astronomer. I wanted to be so many things growing up. I was every day, you know, like, I'm going to be this. I'm going to be that. My mom was just rolling her eyes. She's like, oh my God, no. Here we go again. You know, I wanted to be a chef. So there's so many things that I wanted to be. And honestly, I think that acting is the best job for me because I wanted to be so many things and I can be all of that through acting. I get to experience some incredible human emotions that would not randomly, you know, just come to me because I'm living, like I'm being someone else and I'm experiencing their life through their eyes and through their emotions. And sometimes I just come back home and I'm like, wow, that, like the feelings that you feel being someone else is just so interesting, the way they love, the way they are scared, the way they are just, you know, very nonchalant, for example. So it's just incredible. And it's, for me, it's very fulfilling.
So, okay. So what do you do on days when you're not 100%? Like what, let's say that you have a filming day and you're like, I'm asking this because I'm sure a lot of people are curious, and this applies to any job. It's like, you're not at 100. Do you have tools? Do you exercise? Do you meditate? Do you be like, you know what? Nope, not today. Like what's your strategy?
Of course. Yeah. A lot of days I just wake up and I'm like, oh my God, I woke up on the wrong side of the bed. You know, it's just not my day. And I have an all-nighter. I'm pulling an all-nighter because we're filming. So these days happen. And what I try to do is I'm aware of that. First of all, I kind of just recognize that this is what I'm feeling. So I don't go and lash out on random people for random stuff that doesn't make any sense, because that's right. What used to happen. You know, I'm like, I'm pissed off and I just figure or find someone to be pissed off at to take out all this like frustration on. And once you realize that this is something that's going on internally, this is something that has to do with where the moon is right now, it makes a difference. It really makes a difference because you're able to,
I really do.
Yeah. You're able to address it and you're able to take care of yourself and self-soothe and okay, let's today just take care of what I eat and eat things that are nourishing and fulfilling and that I love, you know? So I'm just going to focus on eating good things that make me happy. I'm going to drink things that are making me happy, like herbal tea, like, I don't know, coffee. So I just try and take care of myself and find the things that help my mood, and meditation. Meditation has helped me with a lot, even if it's literally 5 minutes. Yeah. I have some really cool applications that I use and I just sit there, you know, and just do this breathing exercise where it helps calm me down, center me. Sometimes it works. Sometimes I'm like, yep, that's not going to work.
Not bad.
Yeah. And it's also okay. You know,
exactly.
So there are ups and downs, and just being aware of those ups and downs and kind of just having these affirmations in your head of I'm healthy, I'm happy, I have abundance in my life. You just keep repeating things that ground you back again. That's what works for me.
So what's a project you consider your best work to date?
I'm thinking, well, one of the really like close to my heart is the Blue Elephant 2, because it was just such a fun role. She was very feisty, very strong, powerful woman who, like, you know, just goes and does things her own way. And she's very, I don't know, she was just so incredible. I was like in awe of the character herself. So I really enjoyed playing it.
Okay. So what's something that you are, what's a project you're looking forward to? Very much so.
Currently, well, I'm really looking forward to my new two TV series for Ramadan, Musa and Diddakas. Musa is with Muhammad Ramadan and Diddakas is with Nelly Karim. I'm very, very excited for it both.
Wow.
Because
amazing.
I've been really working hard on like both characters and in both TV series. So I'm excited to see what people think, you know, when they see it.
Okay, so my last question that I usually like to ask is, what's next for Tara? I mean, I would say on a bigger picture scale, past Ramadan, you're focusing on acting now. Is there something that you're aspiring to do otherwise, or is it something, or this is your main thing right now?
Well, I guess this is my main thing right now. Alongside, you know, I always love to have certain things that I care about also shed light on. For instance, education and bullying, because bullying also falls under education, as how can you educate parents, teachers, and everyone on how to deal with this. So these are the things that I am currently focusing on. And there are other, like so many other causes that I always try and be a part of because I feel that it's necessary and important. And these are the things that I always want to have as part of my life and a part of my career. But the next thing for my career is I've always wanted to act abroad, and I always wanted to be an Egyptian actress who has made it abroad. So this is what I'm currently working on and hoping that in the coming year, I could do that.
Yes, that would be incredible. Representing.
Thank you.
Amazing.
Yes.
I think, Bardu, you being a female actress in the region, is that any more difficult, do you think, than being a guy?
There have been a lot of course, conversations on how do we make women participate in as much things the man participates in, for instance, in acting. There are a lot of roles that are written for men. And I just hope that we see more women written by women and more women roles that she's the leading role and the story is around her and not about a guy. And the girl is just always falling in love with the guy and that's where her story ends. And there have been a lot of incredible roles in the past few years and now that have been circulating around the woman being the lead role or a like a group of women being the lead role, but I just want to see more of that. And because, for instance, I really dream of doing a role where it's a woman and she's the action, you know, the lead action person, because we don't see that. And I just hope we get to see that. And there has been a lot of conversations in the movement or of the harassment that has been happening, the cases that have been arising. And this has made us all more confident to speak up, to defend ourselves, to give a voice to everyone else that feels that they don't have a voice. And of course, the conversation still has a very long way to go, but just starting it and continuing the conversation makes a lot of big difference.
Thank you for listening, and don't forget to subscribe, give us a review, shoot me a text, or direct message us on Instagram at Radical Contemporary, where we'd love to hear your feedback and the topics you'd like to listen to. Also, you can check out our website, www.radicalcontemporary.com, where all of our content is available. Finally, we'll be hosting a new guest every week, so stay tuned.